SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. As great to have you with us here heading into the weekend. Mike Carver with you. Sans Joe. Joe out on assignment. So gentleman George Kurtz is with us here this hour. We got a lot to do this last hour. We're going to talk about the hockey, a couple football things. I know Matthias is getting his UFC card together. I've got the golf on, actually live golf at night because Liv is in Australia and they are about to tee off round number two. So that's as exciting as it gets, having live golf and the watering hole going here on a Friday night and several other things. There's a lot of good college basketball. I'll try to run through some stuff for Saturday for you before we go as well. George, let's get into this hockey. I thought we kind of touched on it quickly at the beginning of the last hour, but we'll dive in a little deeper here. I think there was some questions. Are these guys going to be into it? Best on best? Is it, you know, the long grueling season? Are they really going to be up for it? It's not the Olympics. All that got washed away that first night. That Canada-Sweden game was absolutely intense. It was outstanding. The action in that game, particularly, George, in like the last 5 minutes of the third period and the entire overtime, was off the charts. And I know the score was a lot different the next night, but I thought USA-Finland for two periods had that same intensity. And the U.S. just, you know, they hit him with a couple of rights early in that third with a few goals, and it kind of got out of control from there. But I think everything that the NHL could have hoped, and how about this too, George, people have watched.
Yeah,
which I know sometimes NHL in the regular season is a ratings zero. You get nothing. And even in the playoffs and stuff, depending on what matchups you got, they have had some of their most viewed hockey programming these last couple nights. And even, George, the books. How about this? That's right. We could even say this. Everybody talk about hockey. Nobody bets on hockey, blah, 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 blah. Thursday night, I know a couple books, including BetMGM, who put this out. They had more action on the USA-Finland game than any NBA or college basketball game that they had on their board last night. So how about that, George? People even betting on it as well. That's how excited they are.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. And Mike, I told you earlier, I was like everybody else. I had my doubts coming in. You know, am I really going to like this? Is it going to be any good? You know, because listen, there was nothing for me on Monday. I mentioned Joe talked me into betting the Houston Cougars on Tuesday. And so I was definitely geared up for something Wednesday. And, you know, you're like, wow. Team Canada was playing so fast. All right, Crosby looked like he was 10 years younger. We know McDavid is, God on skates there. So it was great to see. It was really great to see. Of course, it also helped that I think I won two of my three bets. I was on Team Sweden plus a goal and a half and plus 2.5. I had that earlier in the day as well. Got the over here. I took Team Sweden to win the game as well. Not that I thought they were better than Canada, but I was getting, I think, plus 220. And I didn't think Canada was that much better than Sweden. But hey, lost that one. Then the next night, all over Team USA. Unfortunately, I do think Team Finland is outmatched in this tournament. They had a lot of injuries coming in. I mean, Monday, they can only have 11 skaters. That's where they were here. So I thought they were outmatched. It took a little while here, and I told you, man, I was worried. I mean, the second period, I'm like, oh, God, if Team Finland scores a goal and USA starts to grip those sticks a little tighter and things aren't going well, that's not going to be good. Then they had that explosion. They scored the late goal in the second period, explosion in the third period. We can all relax here. And we got the over even about 8 minutes left in the game there on the power play, which is beautiful. So it was a very good night there. So my only complaint, and by the way, I think they even got the point system right, right? You know, we had 3 points for a regulation win.
I talked to Sharapan about that on the NHL Today show on Friday. I said, you know, this is really what the NHL regular season should be. It should be 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points overtime shootout, 1 point loss in overtime shootout. And I think that
I don't even think that saying, it's be 3-2-1 period. You lose the game, you get nothing. Nil, nada, zero, zilch. Losers don't get anything. 3 points.
You only want to give them. Only want to give them the point if it's shootout. Only if they get through the overtime shootout, you give them the point.
No, you lose the game. You lose zero. You get 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for a win in overtime, whether it's 5, 7, 10, whatever they're going to end up with here, and 1 point for a shootout win. You lose the game. Too bad.
You're not going to give any. Okay, I see what you're saying. You're going 3-2-1 based on when you won the game.
Yes.
As opposed to, you know, they'll never do that.
Of course not.
They won't go that far.
They want to keep the standings close. They're going to have something to play for. We get fannies
right
in the seats and ratings. They'll never do that, but that's what they should do. I hate that losers get a point. Hate it. You lose the game, you shouldn't get a damn point.
Tell you what else they should do. Do what they did this. Bump that overtime from 5 to 10. Now, McKinnon already bellyached about it. There's no way we could do this in a regular season. There's no.
Yeah, because 2 minutes is really too much. Give me a break.
But they'll get more games finished in overtime and not have that shootout if they win 10 minutes. And you know what
I
mean? I know they don't want to do it, but you got to use more of your guys. In these 5-minute overtimes, there's like 6 guys that touch the ice for the whole 5 minutes. You're going to have to expand it out. You're going to have to use more guys.
You've got 18 guys. Use them. All right. I'd like them to go. I wish they would go 4-on-4 for 5 minutes and 3-on-3 for 5 minutes. I don't like the shootout, the 3-on-3. It's a skills competition. That's all it is, a skills count. Who can skate? You know, and I don't like it. So I wish they would go 4-on-4 and then 3-on-3. They won't do that either, mind you. But that's what I'd like.
No.
I would like more games to end while it's real hockey. And I do hate, by the way, that in this tournament, we're doing a shootout again. I mean, can't we have real hockey?
Well, yeah, but that's only – the championship game
it's
is going to be played till there's a winner. You know, there's – 10 minutes is. I don't have a problem with the 10 minutes. It sucks that they would play a shootout, but I think you saw the other night. I don't think you could get through 10 minutes without someone scoring in that format.
I doubt it.
3-on-3. I think the extra 5 minutes makes a big difference in terms of guys getting tired, more breakout, more shorthanded up. You know, 2-on-1 opportunities, things like that. I think you'll have so many more of them. Going that way. So the United States and Canada will play in Montreal on Saturday night. As we know, if you've been watching the games, it's obviously a pro-Canada crowd, as you would expect in Montreal, so much so that they even all came out to boo the United States against Finland on Thursday night. Now, this thing will shift to Boston on Monday. So Monday's two games are in Boston. The championship game is in Boston. So if there's a USA-Canada round two, it would be at the TD Garden, TD Bank Garden in Boston for them. -110 both ways. We'll get into this when we come back. And a 6.5. I'll tell you now, George. I'll give you a little preview, and then you can tell me what you think after the break. I know we've had two overs already in this thing. And I think we might even get a third in the afternoon when we talk about Finland and Sweden. I do not think you're going to get it over in this USA-Canada game at night. Unless there's a lot of penalties and a lot of power plays, because the power plays on both sides are going to be very lethal. But I think this game is going to be tight, close-knit, close to the vest. I think both teams are going to be best on best. I think you're going to see an excellent played hockey game. 2-1. 3-2, somewhere in that realm. I don't see 6-5 with USA and Canada on Saturday night. Not with the way that I watched these two teams play on Wednesday and Thursday. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. George in for Joe. We'll come back and we'll see what he thinks.
on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Marvin Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159, here with you. Getting ready for the weekend. Carver Sands, Lisi, Joe out, George Kurtz in here. So we're talking this USA-Canada game Saturday night. I gave you the numbers. It's basically it's a pick, a minus 110 on both sides, and a 6.5 total. I was saying to George before the break, I believe that this game, watching them both play a game already, I believe that this game will be very, very close to the vest, tight-knit. Probably thinking more along the lines of that, what it's probably going to be next Thursday if they play a game. But I think both games will be like it. We've seen it in the past in these best-on-best in the Olympics. I think that it's a game that's going to be tied 1-1, 2-2 late, and somebody gets the goal. Could even be in that overtime with the 3-on-3, but I just, as much as there's some great talent on the ice, I don't see the 6-5 game, the 5-4 game, because I do think there's a lot of defensive and especially on the U.S. side, goaltending talent out there as well.
All right. I got one name for you. You want to guess what that name is?
Go ahead, George.
Biddington.
He does stink. I'm not going to lie to you. He does stink. He could turn the game into... There's two things that could turn this game into a wild track meet, and the over will get smashed. Binnington is awful. USA scores a bunch of goals, and Canada has no choice but to completely open it up and play fast and loose, up and down with McDavid and McKinnon and all these guys. Or number two, George, and that's there's a bunch of penalties, and the power plays are out there for both teams all night. And that'll ring the red light a whole bunch of times too. Those are obviously two possible scenarios that torpedo the over, the under.
I'll give you a possible third too. We didn't see this, although I thought we might in game one for Team USA. You know, that first goal wasn't the greatest goal. I'm like, oh, here we go at Hellebuck again, where he can't play. You know, doesn't play well in big games. You know, so, and then, listen, tomorrow's a big game. It's not the biggest game, but it's a big game. USA loses tomorrow, there's a chance they wouldn't even make it, right? If they can't get any point. You know, there's a chance they wouldn't make it to the finals, so they don't play Team Sweden. And Team Sweden's a good team on Monday. So it is a big game tomorrow, for both teams. I think it's bigger for the U.S. because I think Canada knows they'll beat Finland on Monday, where the USA would have a tougher matchup in Sweden. I'm on the over. All right, and I'll be on the over in the early game as well. 5.5, I'm definitely on the over there.
I love the over in the early game.
What was that, minus 108? Yeah, I'm taking that. That's an easy
five
one
and
for
a
me.
Half.
Yeah, if it was 6.5, I would – I might even take it was 6.5. 5.5, I think I'm going to kill it. I'm going to really go for it.
You make a great point here. Obviously, there's only one game left after tomorrow night. What happens in this game for the United States – is very critical. You know, if they get nothing and Sweden wins in regulation, they're actually going to be on the outside looking in, going into the Sweden, and the Sweden USA game then on Monday night will be for it all to get into the game. Because you said, Finland's not going to beat Canada on Monday afternoon. Finland's not going to beat Canada. The only way Canada has pressure in that game Monday afternoon is if they lose in regulation to the United States on Saturday night. Now, U.S. beats them, they're in. They're locked up. That Sweden game means nothing to them on Monday night, and they can basically, you know, they can kind of decide, George, if they want. You know, if Sweden beats them Monday night, then they could, you know, do they want to play Sweden or Canada really on Thursday? But I don't think it's very hard to do that stuff in hockey. It's very difficult to throw the game, as they always like to say. But I think that this is going to be a classic game. I think it's low scoring. I think it's going to have a lot of intensity to it. I think the crowd is going to be a major factor in it. The crowd's going to be nuts in Montreal. It's just something that for a time of year, they don't do a lot of smart things. We've talked about this a lot. Me, you, Gabe, they do not do a lot of smart things in National Hockey. This was a smart thing. I love where they did it. I know it sucks not having the NHL for 2 weeks, but this is a perfect time where there's nothing going on. Nobody cares about that dopey dunk contest on Saturday night. Stick to this USA-Canada game on a Saturday night, mid-February. People are watching. People are betting. It has juice. Rarely get to say it, George. Nice job by the NHL to do that. Nice job.
My only knock would be you can't not have the Russians. All right. Where's Ovechkin? He's chasing the freaking goals record. He's not playing. No Panarin. Kaprizov would have been out anyway. Shesterkin, yeah. Sorokin, Vasilevsky. I mean, Kucherov. I mean, you can't. It's not their fault what's going on in Ukraine. I mean, so that's my only problem. And I guess you need a sixth team then, right? And maybe you got to throw in an Eastern European team, the Czechs. You know, not having them is kind of silly as well. So that's my only issue here. You can't not have the Russians.
I guess that it's hard to get it done in 8 days with more than four teams. That would be where I would say that it's probably a lot longer amount.
Did you
of time
see what kind of team though the Russians would put in there?
Yeah,
I mean, damn, right there with the USA better, and Canada.
They'd have better goaltending than Canada too. Canada's got no goaltending. Russians would have better goaltending than them. Yeah, I know that. It's amazing
isn't that
how
scared,
they've suddenly.
By the way? Right. What happened to the Brodeurs and Roys of the world? Were you Binnington?
Brodeur, Roy, Flower. They've had forever, always had a pinnacle top goalie in Canada. And
no more.
They just do
it's
not
why
have
I think
that.
That's why I had to go to the over tomorrow, Mike. You want me to bet on the under with Jordan?
Well,
if
Binnington's that bad, the United States are going to win the game, without a doubt. If Binnington's that bad. Because I really don't think Hellebuck's given up four or five goals on Saturday night. I really don't see it. I know he's had problems in the playoffs in the past. I don't think that he's given up all those goals in the game.
By the way, also, Mikhail Makar, we got to watch his status. He was ill today, missed practice.
Sick.
They brought in Harley.
Yeah. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, George and for Joe. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you aboard here. All right, George. And one other thing from this, I've been pretty good with the goals so far the first couple games. So I'm up in the goal scoring department. So I'm obviously going to go back to the well here on Saturday night. I find it hard to believe that at some point Austin Matthews isn't going to find his way into the goal scoring category. I think we know the deal. Obviously, he plays in Canada's biggest city in Toronto. So there's good, him trying to break some hearts there would be pretty fun. So plus 185 for Matthews. I played Gensel the other night. Gensel's just a guy. He scores big goals in these games. He was 270 the other night. He's 300 on Saturday night. And there's one name I keep going to, George. This is another guy. He scores big goals in these spots. JT Miller, 5-1. JT Miller is a guy, sneaky guy in these big games. He scores goals.
I'm going to have one obvious one, all right? Austin Matthews, I have no problem either. He hasn't scored in a while, right? He's been in a little slump for the Maple Leafs as well, I believe, here. I always have to wonder if that wrist is bothering him, right? Because he's got the bad wrist here. It's a big game tomorrow night. Right, we've been talking about it. They know it. We know it. Everybody knows it. Connor McDavid is scoring. All right, Connor McDavid's putting a puck on tomorrow night. At plus 210, I'm going to take that. It's hard not. Which one? That's the only question here. Which one of the Tkachuks? I mean, they're both made for this. They are both made for this. Matthew or Brady, or even take both. Just hope one hits. Either you're profitable if either one hits. So I might do it that way as well.
Speaking of take both, and you got a shot that one hits. This was another one I asked Dave about. You know, both games are basically 3-1 to go to overtime. Both games, the afternoon game and the night game. Doesn't it feel like at least one of them will?
Yes.
On Saturday? So you play 3-1 on both. One comes in. You make a profit off of that. So
my problem is I don't think Sweden Finland does. I don't think that has a chance. I think Sweden beats Finland.
I think it does. I kind of like Finland with the goal and a half. Honestly, I think that Finland's gonna
like
this
it,
is
it
needs for them.
So well.
Soros worries me. Soros stinks.
They already said Lankinen's playing. So
Lankinen's playing in the game.
They announced
they're gonna switch it up.
They announced it during our show here that he's starting. So, which I think is the right move, by the way. Soros hasn't been good all season long. He's had his issues.
Is Sweden play? I guess Sweden's going to play Gustafsson again since he played the other night.
Are they
going to switch it up?
I assume. Why would you? He played pretty well. It wasn't his fault they lost.
Now, USA and Canada aren't switching anything up. It's going to be Bennington and Hellebuck, I would guess, on Saturday night.
So would
right?
I. They're not going to switch anything. I don't think either one said it, but then I don't think, well, it has to be Hellebuck.
I think that if the USA won and they wrapped it up, I think you'd see Ottinger on Monday night. I don't think that they'd play Hellebuck, but they'd give him a crack. Probably even
well,
give both guys a crack,
that.
I'd bet. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's very true. But listen, this is a lot of fun. I'm with you on the over in the first game. I think Sweden wins, but I might play the goal and a half with Finland. I think that it's going to be a little bit of a tighter game.
I haven't
Finland
done it yet. I think Finland's just these two. They don't like. You already said earlier. These two teams do not like each other either. All right. And Finland was playing. They were playing, like I said, a good, strong hockey. But they were taking their chances with and the refs finally caught up to them. There, they do it again. I'm gonna probably. I'm not gonna take -210. That's too much for Sweden here. Although I could take. I can't even do a parlay. I don't feel great with USA Canada either. I think I'm gonna take the goal line. I'm going to love the over. That's going to be the over in Finland Sweden is going to be my biggest bet of the day, almost certainly. I think that's going to go with 5.5, and I'll take the -108. I think I'm going to take the goal line for Sweden.
How about you take the over in Finland Sweden with USA to win? You don't feel comfortable with USA winning. Yeah, that's why. You don't feel comfortable with USA winning.
I think Team Canada's offense is better, a little bit, and their defense better, a little bit. But the goaltending for USA is better, a lot of it. You know, so that's really where I'm going with there.
Losing Quinn Hughes
is a killer for USA.
I don't think there's much difference between the USA and Canada. I think the USA's bottom six, honestly, seems a little bit better.
Yeah, Canada's top
heavy. Tournament, Canada's very top heavy. Harvard and Lee's Sports Grid Radio, Georgia and Joe, we're back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Harvard and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here. UCLA still up at Indiana, 52-45. They're at the under 12 timeout in the second half. Wright State with a 1-point lead on Milwaukee. Got Nevada and San Jose State late night on FS1. Just one thing I'll say for tomorrow. Obviously, you have number one versus number two, Auburn versus Alabama. This has gone from 1.5 this afternoon, now 2.5 for Bama. I love Bama in this game. Totals 172.5. I think that they smash that as well. Smash city job. I know then, and 172, that's a big number. Big number, but I think it's going to be played at Alabama's pace, and I think Alabama gets it done. Forget the total. I'll probably stay away from it. Really, the -2.5 for Alabama against Auburn. Big number one versus number two on Saturday in college hoops. It's that time of year, George, with the NFL. The season's not even a week old, and listen, you got to start the rumor mill churning, right? You got to start getting everything out there. You got a couple weeks until the new league year starts, free agency. We've got the combine. We still obviously got some distance until the NFL draft. But you've got to put rumors out there. And it doesn't matter, George, how absolutely ridiculous some of them are. And absolute nonsense type stuff. I read the one today, and I gave it to this guy, I guess, that the Rams want The Giants' third overall pick for Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford's 37 years old. If Joe Shane traded the third overall pick for Matthew Stafford, George, John Mara should walk down to his office, fire him on the spot. I mean, where? I get we need rumors. I get we need things to keep the NFL machine moving. But we got to come up with some better ones. Matthew Stafford, the Giants are not trading the third overall pick for Matthew Stafford. They shouldn't be trading anything for Matthew Stafford at 37 years old, let alone the third overall pick. Some of the stuff, George, is nuts.
Well, I mean, listen, you can want whatever you want, all right? I don't want to date Jessica Alba. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, all right? So it sort of is what it is there. Stafford's due $27 million. That's the problem. He's worth more than that, so they have to redo the contract for him to stay with the Rams here. Do the Rams really want to move? Because people forget, what the hell? The Rams won the division, right? They gave the Eagles a pretty good game in the divisional round, right? Pretty good football game in that snowstorm there. What are they going to do if they get rid of Stafford? Who's their quarterback? Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins, Jameis Winston, Aaron. We're all going to go through the same names that we're all going to go through every damn team here. So that's not happening. I just don't see it. Why would you do that? Why would Stafford? And Stafford's going to have to agree to anything because he's going to need a new contract. Why would he want to go to the Giants? They're not winning next year or the year after that. I mean, it doesn't make any sense all the way around.
You make a good point. You know, and I know the Rams. Listen, the Rams did something that I think the Bills should do now. They sold out like 5 years worth of drafts to win that Super Bowl a couple years ago against Cincinnati. I feel like when you win, George, I don't care. You could stomach it. If you actually win the Super Bowl, you could take it. And I think the Bills should do that this offseason for Myles Garrett or Max Brown, whatever it's going to be. The Bills should sell out to try to win the Super Bowl next year while they still have a chance. But that being here nor there, if you're the Rams, why not do one more year of Stafford? And if Sean McVay is such a big quarterback guru, the one thing that they haven't done there is draft a quarterback that they can develop to be the future quarterback there. And maybe that's George spending their late, you know, their, what's their first round pick? Probably in the 20s this year, right? Because they made the second weekend. Maybe it's a Jackson Dart, or, you know, maybe it's somebody like that. But you keep Stafford. He's still going to go another year with him. And McVay will have a year to groom and mold some young quarterback to be ready to take the job seamlessly. I'm with you. Cutting the cord from Stafford without any real succession plan, I don't think that makes sense. I think McVay's smarter than that. McVay's a smart guy. I don't see why he would do that. I think he should go get another quarterback, go 1 year and start to groom him and teach him to take over the year after that.
I agree. I mean, I kind of like your theory even more here, especially with guys like Dart, Milrow. Maybe they go in the first round. Maybe they go in the, whatever round they go in. But you can get them late. You know, if you really like one or you like one a little bit, you go at it that way. I'm not trading Stafford. I mean, you got Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua, Tyler Higbee actually looked good in the playoffs, right? I don't think you're a Super Bowl team. Don't get me wrong. But if you trade Stafford without any plan, any other quarterback you can name is not getting you anywhere. They're just not. And we do expect San Fran to be better next year. Maybe Seattle's better too. Arizona, who the hell knows? Unless Stafford doesn't want to be there. And he's told you that. No, I'm done. You know, I don't want to play in Southern California in the good weather anymore. You know, that sort of thing. Or his wife wants out of there for whatever reason. Maybe she wants to go back to the Midwest. Whatever. You know, unless giving him flack. I don't see that. Yeah, like I said, it's a quarterback-driven league. There are not 32 quarterbacks. There are going to be a lot of teams here. You know, you go through whoever doesn't draft Ward and or Sanders. You know, you're looking at the Raiders, the Saints. What are you going to do with Derek Carr? You know, Giants, Jets. I mean, really, what, 6-8 teams that don't have a quarterback? And you're going to get all those names that we just talked about. Winston, Cousins, Darnold. Whoever signs Darnold is going to overpay, right? He's going to get not what he would have gotten. Those last two games definitely hurt him, but he's going to be overpaid. You know, so you're going to have to go out and get him. No, I'm not doing that if I'm the Rams. Stafford is I don't think he's great, but he's a really good quarterback. My only issue with Stafford is, he's not going to play 17 games probably. You know, you're only gonna get 14 to 15 out of them. And by the way, if you went for the Giants, that 14 to 15 becomes 11 or 12 because he'd get killed behind that offensive line.
The Giants' offensive line's awful. Now, Andrew Thomas is a really good player, really good left tackle. Never plays. You know, that's a problem. That's what these guys can get. Thomas is never out there. When Thomas is out there, the Giants' offensive line is actually kind of functional, but he never plays. And that's the biggest problem that they have there. And the other, I've never seen a team have to put out like a big press release, statement from the owner that they're releasing a quarterback. I've never, you know, I would expect it if like you quarterback, this is a guy who was with your franchise for 20 years, maybe won your Super Bowl, that you put up, guy was with your team for 2 years and won 5 games. Why did we need to put out the big press release thanking him for all of his what contributions? He won 5 games in 2 years. What contributions did Aaron Rodgers have to the Jets? And I'm tired of all those stories, but I'll say this to you, George. We'll keep it simple. Do you think he plays again next year? And where do you think that actually is?
If you're Aaron Rodgers, I got to assume money doesn't mean all that much to him. So it's winning. Where are you going next year that you're going to win? Raiders aren't winning. Saints aren't winning. Steelers? Sorry, Scotty. You know what? That does make some sense.
He will not be happy if that happens. He will be very upset.
Collin likes Russell Wilson so much, he might like Aaron Rodgers too. You know, to think, hey, I'll get over my 9-10 wins. Maybe I can win a playoff game, which you can't, by the way. You're still not beating Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes with Aaron Rodgers. But Steelers do make some sense, but this is why the Steelers, you know, they're in middling hell too. You know, they win 9-10 games every damn year. They're not close to winning a Super Bowl, but they're not close to getting those top picks either here. But the Steelers would, out of all the also-ran teams, they would make some sense because they are the best of those teams.
And that would get a lot, you know, they're getting even older at quarterback in Pittsburgh. I don't think they'd like that very much at all. But that's like something I could see a Tomlin type of move is doing that. That is a Mike Tomlin type of move for sure. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We'll come back. Matias does have some plays for us for the fighting on Saturday night, so we'll see what he's got.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. Great to have you with us here as we're heading into the weekend. Sans Lisi, Joe out. George Kurtz is in for Joe. Now, we have UFC this weekend. I mean, when don't we have UFC, to be quite honest with you? They have a card every single week. Now, I believe they're in Vegas this weekend. Vegas 102. Is that what they're doing here? Now, is this, when they say Vegas, Matias, does that mean that they're at the Dolphy Apex?
Exactly. They're at the Apex. It pays, baby. It pays the same as any other place, so it's all good.
All right. So what's this? This is the main event, this Cannonier versus Rodriguez. You told me the Brazilians are hot right now.
Yeah, Mike. No, they're definitely hot. You know, I told myself this, you know, for the last, I don't know, month. Stop betting against the Brazilians at the time. You know, Charles Oliveira and his camp over there, they're doing some special things, and they're grooming some really good contenders right here, and mostly every single weight class. And you know what I like about it? They all kind of fight with the same tenacity. Keyword tenacity, man. When you look at these guys go forward, they're fearless. They can win in multiple ways, on the ground, striking. They don't really have that perception of, oh, it's a Brazilian guy. He's going to take you to the ground, and he's going to try to submit you the whole time. Man, these guys could stand and bang now. And they're not afraid to stand in the pocket and bang either. Like, they're not afraid to get hit and come back and win the fight. That's why I like these Brazilians right now, man. They're tough as nails. And this guy, RoboCop, he's been doing it for quite some time now. And you know, he kind of had a bad rap earlier. He had to fight Adesanya. Or was it Adesanya? Is that my bad? But he had a big, tough fight early on. No, yeah, I know. I think I'm getting a mix-up. But I remember him having a really, really tough fight in the beginning of his UFC career. And he got beat up. And that only made him better. And this guy's been killing it. He's just been killing it for what? Man. Since 2023, man. Knocking guys out. And his last victory was a decision over Chris Leroy Duncan. But I got to say, he rearranged that guy's face. He destroyed that guy. You know, he beat him to a pulp to the point where that guy might be rethinking his career. You know, the ref should have stopped it earlier type of thing. You know, he's tough as nails, but RoboCop did that to him, and I expect him to do the same to Cannonier. He's a bigger guy. After looking at the weigh-ins today, I thought it was going to be a little bit more just. No ways, man. This guy's towering over Cannonier. He can tell he's drooling for him. He wants to knock this guy out, and he wants to make a statement win, and he wants to call out for a title shot. He has the power to do so. He has an all-around game to do so as well. He has a gas tank. And he's also getting up there in age. You know, Rodriguez isn't a 25-year-old guy. You know, he's in his 30s now. He could see the end coming. But right now, he's in the prime of his career, Mike. And I think it's a perfect opportunity to take out a 40-year-old cannoneer who's already been to the top of the mountain. And you could tell he's not taking those shots the same way that he was taking them in the middleweight division over the last 3 years. So I'm excited for this fight because Rodriguez is definitely a guy I have, you know, I've had his name circled for quite some time. Every time he fights, tune in because there will be blood, my friend. And then, right, hey guys, so, also, Chaos Williams, plus 175. I like the number for Chaos Williams at plus 175. Those are some of my two plays for this card coming up on Saturday.
Well, this is in the prelims, Chaos Williams. He's in the prelims.
He is in the prelims, but it's a banger of a fight. He's taking this kid, not a kid, but this guy, Bonfim. Lots of bone themes in the UFC right now. I saw this guy fight, and I lost money on him when I went to the fights in Vegas. And I noticed that if this guy ever fights against a banger, a guy who's going to go throw, you know, hand-to-hand with him, and he's going to stand in the pocket, you know, fearless, this guy might go down. He likes to beat up guys who don't like to stand in the pocket, who don't like the fire. But I could tell when he fought a guy like Benoit Saint-Denis, guess what? He faced that fire. Bonfim was the guy who was going down and drowning later in the rounds. Chaos Williams is a guy who's hard to finish. He has adrenaline. He hits hard, and he's going to go all the way to the end. Plus 175 is a number I like to dabble with, you know, anytime I see Chaos in there, absolutely. He finishes fights early, guys. You know, like I said, he's not afraid to trade. He's not afraid to land, and he's powerful. You know, he's fearless. Chaos Williams, plus 175.
All right, so there you go. Two fights you like more than anything else here on Saturday night for it. Do you have any George, anything in the fight in the UFC, George? You got anything for the UFC on Saturday night or no? No UFC for George?
There's a better chance of me telling you Kamara, Lamar, Kendrick, whatever this guy's name is, one of his songs. All right? Or SZA, whatever else playing that in UFC tomorrow night. No, I'm watching
George,
Howie Roseman.
You got a better shot.
Can.
You got a better shot of George betting on the dunk contest at the NBA All-Star game than you have
That's
him
probably
on
true.
The UFC.
How about now, Brad Keselowski with the Daytona? How about Brad Keselowski?
Give me – now, you can't take the chalk. I just simply won't allow that. You got the Great American Race Sunday afternoon.
Hey, Bubba?
The Daytona Bubba? 500. Now, our guy Luke, who does the C2C, the TDs on the C2C show, he's on Kyle Busch. I think he had Keselowski too, but Keselowski was 12-1 earlier. Now he's 10. And he said Bubba Wallace, who was 25 at the time, now he's 24. Told me Kyle Busch has never won the Daytona 500. That seems pretty wild to me. Give me Kyle Busch. And I got to take a deep shot. Who's Ricky Stenhouse Jr.? Austin Dillon.
How about this Cody March. Ware? Cody Ware.
Who?
Cody
I mean,
Ware.
He's gotta be. He's 180.
That's the longest odds to win.
Isn't this? Yeah, isn't exactly. This Helio Castroneves? Isn't he an Indy driver? What the hell's he doing in this race? I don't know nothing about the Daytona. I'm so out of the mix with this. I used to back when like you knew who the NASCAR drivers were, Earnhardt, Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon. NASCAR has no stars anymore. They have no stars. So nobody knows
Jose
who the hell
Briscoe.
Any of these guys are.
Jose and Briscoe, he's tearing us up right now. Chase Briscoe, 32-1.
Ty, Joe don't Gibbs. Call me Joe Gibbs at 48-1. And of course, Zane, Don't Call Me Lee Smith at 85-1. Those were Joe's picks. Got any Daytona, George? Can't get George in the race car either on Sunday?
See, when I think of Daytona, I think of the old George Carlin joke of why he likes car racing is because when am I ever going to see a 50-car crash and not be in the goddamn thing? So that's pretty much all I got for you as far as our car racing. No. I'm not. I mean...
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio.
Car racing, auto racing. We're going to see Lisi's R&R's going well.
We'll come back and wrap this puppy up right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Barber and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. SiriusXM Channel 159. Good to have you aboard here as we head into the weekend. So we got it all for you. I think, George, tonight. The hockey, the All-Star Weekend, the UFC, the Great American Race.
I thought that was a TV show at one time you were talking about.
gave you a little something on number one versus number two tomorrow in college basketball, Auburn and Alabama. So you've got a pretty full plate for the weekend that you can get to. I know this, George. The only thing, and I just go back to it, the only thing for me on Saturday is those hockey games are going to be great. And that's especially Saturday night. That is what it's all about for me this weekend in terms of what, if there's one must-see thing that I've got, it's USA-Canada Saturday night in Montreal.
You get an order for me. I'll be watching both. Finland and Sweden's on at 1, Canada, USA on at 8. But yeah, Canada, USA, that's the main event. It's something we all want to watch. If you're a fan, it should have everything you want. You should have action. It won't have fights, but it should have action, hard hitting, speed. And I think it'll be a close game. The only thing you and I disagree about is I think it's going over 4-3.
Yeah, I think low scoring. I think low scoring, and I think the United States is going to win. I think that they're a little bit better.
I picked them yesterday too, so I don't disagree.
I think they're a little bit better, and I think the biggest pendulum swinger for them Saturday night is especially they're a lot better in goal. They're just a lot better in goal, and I think that that's what's going to kind of tip the scales. I even get you golf. I got to live on right now with Joaquin Niemann in the lead. They are partying at this place. I mean, this is like, you know how last week in Arizona, the Super Bowl week, that's like the drunk open. Everybody's hammered at that waste management open in Phoenix. Everybody's throwing the beers and everything on the 16th hole when the guy gets the hole in one. They got the same thing here in Australia at the 12th hole, the watering hole. These people are crazy out here in Australia. So this is pretty cool to watch as well. And next week, we will have, I think next week, George, I've said this in the past and I haven't always been right. I actually think next week, I was just about to say it and I was wrong. I was about to say me and Joe are actually on every night the entire week. And I just realized we're not because I'm out taking the kids to the water park for the winter recess on Thursday and Friday next week. So I'm not, I thought we would get our first full Monday to Friday, Carver and Lisi in 6 months. Nope. I pulled the rug out from underneath it, George. Taking them all to the Great Wolf Lodge on Thursday and Friday. So
I think my family might be there, but before you, I think they're my wife's taking the girls. Same thing. We've been there. They've been there a couple of times. I have never been there, yep. But my wife takes them there. She has friends that live in Pennsylvania, so I think you'll be coming as she's going. I think she's coming back.
Passing ships in the night, or in the morning, and she's getting out in time because I would look today. Of course, it's supposed to snow on Thursday.
Snow? Right? Yeah, we're getting snow. More of the white crap.
I just can't. I can't do it anymore, George. It's just enough. I know. The only good thing I'll say is, and you know this because you live near me, where you live close enough, at least we haven't had that,
I haven't broken up the snowblower yet. I've actually done the shoveling.
It's only been shoveling type situation. None of the machine needed clearing. We haven't had any of that yet, and we're just need to get through the next couple of weeks.
Don't jinx it.
Knock on wood that we can somehow make our way through there. All right, so there you go. Next week, so me and Joe will be together Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and that, and I'm sure, possibly, I don't know, maybe George will see Joe either one or both nights on Thursday and Friday. We'll have to see what Joe, if Joe's
still
in the mix.
It's not on the schedule yet, but I am available.
It's not on the schedule yet, but I'm sure that it'll eventually possibly maybe get put there. George, thank you as always. Enjoy the hockey on Saturday. I hope you get the over in the first game. Say that. As long as the United States wins the second game.
It's been a good couple of games so far. Listen, it's been a good couple of games. Let's keep it up. Let's keep rolling.
Matias, great job as always by him. Enjoy the fights on Saturday night. Everybody have a great weekend. Cash a lot of tickets. We'll see you back here Monday on Carver's AC on the grid.